Episode 41. Early morning chill reminds us of the death of summer, dragging us into fall's mysteries. Greetings, and welcome in to the Patuxent General. I am your host, Jess. I've lived and worked in Patuxent Village my whole life and can tell you secrets about Patuxent, Rhode Island that you want to know. This week, we talk about marigold tea, a scrumptious Parmesan-encrusted chicken, and a trip to the Edgewood Yacht Club, as well as a ghost story from Old Slater Mill. But first, we would like to thank our Patreon subscribers. These irresistible folks are the salt, pork, apple-smoked wood, and fine slicing ability that makes the bacon that is the Patuxent General, without whom we would be merely nitrites burning at the bottom of the pan. If you would like to join these crunchy, sweet folk, go to our Patreon page or simply follow the links in the show notes. So thank you. For right now, let's talk about marigolds. They are among many things ready to harvest here in Rhode Island. We keep them like little sentinels around our garden to keep the vegetables free of pests. I stagger the colors to get more bang out of my buck. But these hardy things not only work in the garden, but are very useful for cooking and healing as well. They are a great source of lutein, like most other dark yellow orange colored foods, like pumpkins, carrots, and tomatoes. And lutein helps protect our eyes from early onset macular degeneration and cataracts. Lutein is one of the two antioxidants found in the retina of the eye. Kale, farm fresh eggs, and spinach are also good. But for me, the beauty of this flower is in the eye of the beholder. The marsh marigold is, however, not edible, not to be confused with its fancy cousins I call the Fabulous Four. French marigolds, African marigolds, Mexican mint marigolds, and lemon marigolds. Can you imagine that salad? They also are an anti-inflammatory, so the tea is used for arthritis and tendinitis, and so many other ailments it would be tedious to read them all. But I will say that the ancient Egyptians used marigolds to clean off wounds. No matter where you look for the background of marigolds, the blossom leaves are the most revered and used around the world for religious rites, medicine, plant safety, sustenance, or beauty. They are eaten, drank, worn, used as poor man's saffron, small, large, dried, and tinctured as an oil, vinegar, or an aspic, or rice. Marigolds work hard. But today we are making tea. For this recipe, you will need 6 cups of hot water, a good teapot, 8 marigold heads, 2 tablespoons of honey, and a mint sprig, which is optional. Heat your water, and when it is boiling, remove it from the heat and add the honey and the prepared marigold blossoms. These must be pinched at the bottom where the seeds are, so that your hand only holds the petals, while the other hand grasps the seed pod. Make sure there are no bugs on one last check, and there you are. Let this sit with honey in it for about 20 minutes, and then strain and pour. This tea is delicate and so comforting when you have an achy back or knees. These blossoms can be dried or bought dried online whenever you would like a little comfort. Enjoy! And while you take a sip, let's talk about my sister's favorite chicken recipe. I used to make this for her, or people I was trying to impress, while I was in my early 20s and single. I saw a TV show make this, and then adapted it to make it my own. While I was living with my sister on Ford Avenue, we were in our 20s and in the middle of the village. Something just a little fancy in that atmosphere was stellar. This dish is best served with a salad and either rice or buttered noodles, but my sister always raved about it every time I made it. So in honor of her, Parmesan chicken. For this recipe, you will need 2 boneless chicken breasts, 3/4 cup grated Parmesan cheese, 1 cup breadcrumbs, panko are great for this, 1 good-sized fry pan, kind of deep, 1/2 cup of oil of your choice, mine is grapeseed, 1-gallon plastic bag, a rolling pin or wine bottle, salt and pepper, 3 eggs and 2 tablespoons of water. All right, these are done in batches, so let's do the dredges first. Put your Parmesan cheese to your breadcrumbs in one dish, with the beaten egg and water in the other. Have your pan hot before you coat your chickens so that the coating doesn't have time to fall off. Take the boneless chicken breasts one at a time and give them a good couple of whacks while they are in the plastic bag. Not so much that they get too thin on one side, but about 1/2 inch thick all around. Then dredge them in egg wash and then drag them through the cheese and breadcrumbs mixture, pressing it down so that it stays on while you go. When your pan is hot, add the oil and brown the chicken breasts on both sides. If it has bounce back and is 165 degrees, you are good to plate up any fancy way you like and enjoy. Without dating myself too much, in the early 80s, I was a teenager. And at that time, when parents still said, "Don't come home until the church bells sound," I lived two blocks away from the water, in the house on the corner, and always had somewhere fun to check out in the village. At 13, I discovered the lookout over the Edgewood Yacht Club. At the time, there was a very dramatic stone building built and used by the local Mason Lodge. They were almost never there, and I liked a quiet place to sit before going home after school. I could just sit there, feel the breeze, and read a book, all alone. Later, as I aged, dates ended up in the parking lot overlooking the water. More importantly, at difficult times in my life, I was drawn there. Perhaps it was the ghosts of so many sailors come and gone. Perhaps the peace of the sea. I never knew. The Edgewood Yacht Club is located at 1 Shaw Avenue, Cranston, Rhode Island, 02905. Twice in the club's history, it has been subjected to fire. The 1908 fire did not daunt the folk who had it rebuilt in the shingle style in the very same year by Murphy, Hindle, and Wright. Built on pilings and noted as surviving not only the 1938 but also 1954's Hurricane Carol, the building was entered into the National Register of Historic Places in 1989. But the building met its match on Wednesday, January 12, 2011. It was struck by lightning at 4 a.m., and by 5:30, everything was gone but the slips. A tenacious lot, they rebuilt and opened in the spring of 2018. But the walk itself from Patuxent Park to the Yacht Club is about 35 minutes if you meander. Crossing over the bridge going north on Broad Street, you can appreciate all the smells and colors of the day. From the flower boxes lovingly tended by the selfless folk of the village, to the scent of salt on the air as it blows past you. It all calms down a little bit as you walk up the hill towards Strathmore Road. Once there, you turn right to discover perfect little and big houses all in a row, all with complementing rhododendrons and hostas. This sleepy road leads out to Narragansett Boulevard, which is double wide and a great view from every angle. Turning north onto Narragansett Boulevard, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to Shaw Avenue. Just before you turn onto Shaw, you will see giant gateposts from the old Masonic Temple, now gone. But the majesty is still there, only now they guard mansions and the ghosts from long before. Right onto Shaw Avenue, and heading down the hill, you see it. A building meant to house parties, victories, magnificent defeats, and most of all, life. At all stages, from young sailors to the eldest Commodore, this building sees life every day. Come enjoy it for yourself and breathe in the atmosphere. Tell him Jess sent you.
I want to tell you about my friend Mike and his Electromagnetic Pinball Museum and Restoration Arcade. It's an all-inclusive place to relax and share anything related to modern pinball, EM pinball, and arcade games. A group of pinball and arcade fans with an addiction to games of all kinds and Lego too. $10 gets you free play on pinball and arcade games all day. You can find them at 881 Main Street, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, or online at www.electromagneticpinballmuseum.com.
And now, for a special presentation in our House on the Corner series, The Phantoms of Old Slater Mill. Submitted by S. in Warwick. When I was in college, I had a job working as a tour guide and historical interpreter at Old Slater Mill in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. The mill was built in 1793 by Sam Slater, kicking off the Industrial Revolution and all that came with it. The mill was the site of an early labor conflict, including the first factory strike in the United States, which was led by young female laborers in 1824. The mill ran until 1895, spinning cotton into cloth, and continued to function industrially until 1923. Water-powered machines brought entire families to come off the farm and live mill life, doing sometimes very dangerous work at young ages. Bobbin doffers were often children aged from 7 to 10 years old who would reload bobbins onto the cotton spinning machines. Other children were used to run behind the carriage of a huge automated loom called a spinning mule. These machines were worked in pairs by a minder with the help of two young boys, the little piecer and the side piecer. It was common knowledge and part of the tour that many children were crushed in it if their timing was off or if they got caught on something. Most of the time, I did school tours, and I would be stationed at one of the three main buildings of the mill complex to give information about that building. Other times, I would do tours for special events. I experienced something strange in each of the various buildings over the season that I worked there. The Sylvanus Brown House, built in 1758, was a place I was put early on. It's a quaint colonial cottage, renewed to its original appeal and stocked with furnishings from that age. I spent a lot of time there, waiting for a group of tourists to be led to the house while studying my college notes. On one occasion, I saw a spinning wheel turn of its own accord, and on another occasion, I heard a voice whisper something short and loud that I could not make out right next to my ear. It sounded as if it said stop, but was so fast and unexpected I cannot be sure. I wasn't about to ask it to repeat itself. One of my least favorite buildings to work was the Wilkinson Building, which was built to maintain the other mills. It was a workhorse made of stone and the home of the main wheel that powered most of the machinery. It was an old, dank, intimidating building, and when I went in there, I always had the feeling that I was being watched. It was always cold. Often I would see shadows dart around in corners that no shadows should have been moving in, and other times I left with unexplainable scratches and bruises on my arms and legs. My favorite station was to work the gift shop area. It was modernized and quiet and a great place to get studying done. It was also the scariest building of all, in the main Slater Mill building. This is where they kept the spinning mule that had crushed bones, and the throstle spinning frames, which had destroyed so many young fingers. It was where the weirdest stuff happened. As I stated, it was quiet in the gift shop. It was not quiet by the spinning mules if nobody was watching. I would hear noises like children skipping, running, or crying out by the back wall. And when I went into the main room to investigate the noise, I'd never find anything out of place or any kids nearby. It was just me and a huge empty mill that was making noises that sounded like kids who were either playing or crying out in terror. This occurred often. One time, I was called to do a private lamplight tour. The tour went well, but at the reception, which took place in the upstairs loft of the mill building, all of the drinks kept spilling. I mean, all the drinks. I saw three cups get knocked over by nothing, all at once. I needed a mop and a bucket at the end of the night. As I cleaned up the mess alone in the building at 11 p.m., I heard footsteps walking up and down the floor where I was, but there was nobody there. I've never finished cleaning anything so fast. Slater Mill is a cool, truly historic, and downright terrifying place. These were my supernatural experiences there. Everybody should go and visit it for themselves and have their own. If you'd like to learn more about Old Slater Mill, go to oldslatermillassociation.org. Thank you once again for joining us here at the PG. If you have something to add to the conversation or a local ghost story, our email is jess@patuxetgeneral.com. We want to hear it all, so hit me up. But until then, I'll meet you right back here next time at the Patuxet General.
A Something for Posterity production. Pre-recorded in Patuxet.